Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 19th day of August 2020. As always, I am looking forward to my interview today with someone who has proven to be an excellent guest on this program, someone who I love to interview. And he has become a friend, and I also share with him many of his convictions, even though I am a Reformed Baptist and he is a Presbyterian. We do have most things in common. And I'm speaking of Pastor Bill Hill. He is pastor of Providence Church, which is a congregation in the Presbyterian Church in America, in Evansville, Indiana. And today we are going to be discussing, I think, a very important theme. Pastor Bill is going to be giving advice to young ministerial students. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Bill Hill.
And it seems like I just talked to you a couple weeks ago, actually.
Yes, we did, I think, a fascinating interview on the most recent PCA, Presbyterian Church in America, General Assembly.
Yes, that's correct.
And if you could make sure that your mouth is as close to whatever thing that you're using.
Yeah. Well, I tried something different this time, and maybe it's not the best plan.
So. Yes, anyway. I was very saddened, as you know. This individual will remain nameless, but I was very saddened and surprised that a fellow PCA pastor requested that I remove him from my email list promoting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio because he believed our discussion on the PCA General Assembly was hate speech. And that is quite baffling to me, how a professing evangelical, a professing subscriber to the Westminster Confession of Faith and the Three Forms of Unity, how such an individual could find the belief that homosexuals need to repent and be transformed by Christ in order to be considered worthy of membership in the church and even into the office of a pastor, elder, etc., how that could be considered hate speech. That's kind of chilling in a negative way.
Well, unfortunately, it's the climate in which we live today, I think, and not the church is not immune to these attitudes, and it is a sad indictment, frankly, within my own denomination, to have those kinds of views being articulated. But we continue persevering and trying to be faithful to what God's Word plainly teaches on the subject.
Yes, I wonder if that same individual will believe it's hate speech to urge a heterosexual adulterer to repent and to put aside his sexual proclivity and activity. I don't even understand it. I can understand it from the left, the open left, obviously. But that is not the subject of our topic.
Yeah, we could spend the first hour talking about that, but let's not.
If you could, tell us about Providence Church in Evansville, Indiana.
Sure, I'd be glad to. I was called and installed as the pastor here in November of 2020. Everybody knows that year. It seems like we're living in 2020 part two, but be that as it may, I was called to be the pastor in November of 2020, so I've been here, whatever, it's 10 months, whatever it is, and it's a medium-sized PCA church in Evansville, Indiana, the only conservative Presbyterian church in the county of about 186,000 people. Medium-sized congregation, really great people, servants through and through. So it's been really enjoyable. It's not without its ups and downs, but that's ministered a life for you. Very thankful to be here. It's really a privilege, actually, to work in the life of the ministry, and especially when you have a congregation that's fairly easy to lead and guide. So my wife and I were just really excited to be here, looking forward to great things. We're looking for our own building currently, and we've been renting from another church for, well, since I've been here, at least that long. It's been longer, but now we're in a position to find our own place financially, and so we're actively doing that now and hoping the Lord will provide something that's suitable for us to put stakes down and grow into and use for His kingdom.
Well, if anybody wants to find out more about this very important church, which I believe, if I'm not mistaken, there are not a whole lot of confessionally reformed churches in your area, are there?
No, we're, I believe there's an EPC church here, Evangelical Presbyterian Church.
Yes.
I think Evangel Presbytery is trying to plant a church in this area. But other than those two, if anybody doesn't know, Evangel Presbytery, I think, is it's more of a confederation than it is Presbyterian. In my opinion, they don't hold as strong a distinction on the sacraments, and I could be wrong about that.
You're talking about the Evangelical Presbyterian Church denomination?
No, I'm talking about Evangel Presbytery.
Oh.
They came out of the PCA as a micro-denomination a couple of years ago, something like that. I don't know all the facts as to what happened, but anyway, I know that they're here in Evansville and trying to plan a work here, and then there's the EPC,
Evangelical Presbytery.
Yeah, you go. Thank you.
Yes, and I know that they would be very much in harmony with other churches that adhere to the Westminster Confession, except they permit the ordination of women, and they believe in, or they are open to, the charismatic sign gifts.
Yes, I don't even think they're part of NAPAR, but I could be wrong about that. I'm actually looking that up right now. But
well, anyway, we don't want to spend the time dissing another denomination.
Oh, no, I'm not trying to.
I actually do have friends in that denomination, as much as I may disagree with those two things I mentioned. Disagree. But if anybody wants more information on Providence Church in Evansville, Indiana, you can go to Providence Church, evisinvictory.com. That's Providence Church, that's for Evansville, VV, which is also a part of the abbreviation for Evansville.com. Providence Church, EVV.com. All right, now tell us about the parchment.
Oh, that's that place where I spend my time. Not as much as I need to. It's a website that I started, I don't even remember, many, many years ago. It was designed for me to use it as an outlet for my desire to write and do other types of things. And so it's been around for a while. It doesn't do much other than I post a daily prayer there 7 days a week, typically, and there's a video of a morning devotional about 10 minutes in length that I'll do Monday through Friday. Right now we're working through the shorter catechism. So, and then occasionally I'll write articles or something to that effect of something that I'm thinking about, like our topic for today. And, but not, just don't have the time, it seems, to write as much as I'd like to, other than writing for church-related material for Sunday school or whatever. But, so that's, it's just a personal outlet for me, and if people would benefit from it, great. If not, well, that's okay too. So.
And that website is theparchment.net.
Yes.
Theparchment.net. By the way, we have a listener in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, who asks, why does your guest sound so upset? And he's not using, actually, the phrase upset. He's using a more colorful term that goes by the initials P as in Peter, O.
But I don't know.
Well, I think it's largely because you're a New Yorker. It's
that could be. I don't know. Yeah. No, I'm just chilling in my study. So.
And by the way, folks, I want to give our listeners the email address if you have questions on our main theme, advice to young ministerial students, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Well, why did you initially, what was the catalyst behind you wanting to discuss this theme? And I do believe it's a very important theme because so many young people in the 21st century in the faith who may even be in very conservative, biblically orthodox denominations and congregations are going off to either college, Bible college, or seminary, and they are being deprogrammed from Christianity. They are being brainwashed, and some of these leftists and apostates, who may even be disguised as Christian professors, are actually making headway. They're having an impact on the minds and thinking of young Christians, and leading them to abandon things that have always been believed by biblically faithful Christians. But if you could tell me your specific reason for wanting to discuss this.
I don't know if there's any specific reason necessarily. I mean, there wasn't any event or something that I could put my finger on. It's something I've thought about from time to time, I guess, watching things that happen on social media, perhaps conversations with other ministers about the climate of the church and various aspects related to that, that I think caused me to start thinking more through it. I guess things, as I reflected back on my time in seminary, even before that, some of the ways in which God providentially worked to get me where I am now. And so there was just a number of bullet points that I just started jotting down in a note-keeping program that I use that I can just whip out my phone and just start banging out thoughts. And with the idea of eventually turning that into some kind of article, that may prove helpful or not. But as I think about just the issue of ministry. I've been in pastorate now coming up on 6 years. I was a ruling elder for 2.5 years prior to that. I'm not young.
You even entered seminary later in life than the average seminary student, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I went to seminary when I was 46 years old, but I would have considered myself, which really feeds into the one of the things I want to be very clear about here, is that when we're talking about a young ministerial student or someone aspiring to that, I don't mean age necessarily. While that's generally the makeup of most young men who either who go to seminary or take seminary classes, they go from high school to college, maybe there's some employment in between there or during it, and then they go to seminary at, what would it be, 24, 23, something in that area. I'm not speaking necessarily about the age chronologically, but more to the point of just the reality that it is really a world that is foreign, I think, to most people, don't have a full grasp or maybe understanding of it. It's something you really have to learn in the trenches. So I would have considered myself a young ministerial student at 46. It's one thing to watch it happen. It's another thing to start training in that direction and start doing it. It's just a huge difference. And I suspect that's like that for any occupation, really. You learn something in college and then you go do it and it's like, well, that was all theory, but now this is reality, and it's just not always the same. So I don't mean young in the sense of age necessarily. I mean young in the sense of experience or even understanding as to what all of this means and how to best be prepared or equipped to handle what is oftentimes an extremely stressful stressful job, calling. I say job, it reminds me of a story of a guy I got rebuked for saying job. My job is, I was just using the common term. Everybody has jobs. I go to work every day like everybody else. It's just I don't have a boss necessarily staring over my shoulder all the time. But that's the reason, Chris. It was more of I just started thinking about it, based on things I've read or conversations I've had, and so I just started putting some thoughts together that I think maybe could be helpful for either men who are thinking of going to the ministry. I actually had a guy contact me, something I posted on Facebook once in this area, and he contacted me and asked me, how would one know that they should pursue the ministry? And I just simply told him, sit down and talk to your elders first before you do anything. But so I guess all, with all of that, over the course of any number of weeks, it's been percolating in my head, and so that's really how it came to be. So I think it was like, I don't know what time in the morning, 4:30 maybe, 4 o'clock in the morning when I sent you that message.
Could have been. By the way, I want to plug. I just want a quick plug your seminary because it's one of the few remaining seminaries that I think that people can have complete confidence in if you are a thoroughgoing, confessionally reformed, conservative Christian. You can have great confidence in either sending your children or, if you yourself are the student, attending and becoming a part of the student body at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylors, South Carolina. And that website is gpts.edu. GP for Greenville Presbyterian, TS for Theological Seminary.edu. I just thought I'd throw that out there. And by the way, Joey Pipa, if you are listening, I left a voicemail for you about a week ago, hoping that you return as a guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. It was a rich pleasure to interview you in the past, and it's been far too long. But anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, he's probably, I think he was out of the country.
Okay.
Actually. That's probably why he didn't get a return call. Plus, the semester's about to start, too, there, so I'm sure it's pretty nutty around that place at this point. So, I'm sure he'll get back to you. Shoot him an email.
Yeah, I will do that. But do you agree with my assessment, though, that it is a really, I mean, it's not like this is anything new. This was happening in the late 19th century, where people were hearing about higher criticism and beginning to adopt Darwinianism, and of course, not long after that, the tragic fundamentalist modernist controversy rose up in the early 20th century. So this is nothing new, but the ideas are even more insane and satanic in these days that professing Christians are teaching and adopting. Am I right?
Yeah, I think that's a problem. I don't know that is necessarily why I was thinking about this subject in general, but it is a difficulty with education these days. There's more indoctrination in higher education than there is in actual learning and teaching people how to think critically about matters. And I mean, we see this all the time now. And frankly, I think if I could do it over, I would tell my children to go to trade school. Learn a trade. You know, it's because the climate is so difficult. If a child going to college or university is not well grounded in the Christian faith and does not have a solid Christian worldview going in, is able to articulate things, it is going to be a challenge. And I mean, obviously the Christian worldview is the right worldview. It's every other worldview follows from the Christian worldview in order to make their arguments. They have to. So that's the whole theory of epistemology. But if a young person is not prepared for what they're going to hear, and it can be very daunting. It's a daunting task. And I grow weary of hearing how we lose our youth after they get out of the church, as it were. They leave their local church, they go off to school, and then they come back, and, well, they've been enlightened now with, things that are contrary to the biblical and Christian worldview. So, but no, you're right. I mean, that's certainly a problem. I think young men who pursue seminary education more in the, for lack of a better way of expressing it, within a conservative point of view, are probably have not been influenced in that direction, obviously. I think you're right. I think in general, I don't think it happens to everybody, but generally speaking, that is a certainly an issue to be very, very aware of and prepare for ahead of time, because it's hard to challenge your professors in the open classroom when you're hearing stuff that are just wrong.
Well, we have to go to our first break right now. If anybody would like to join us, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. In fact, I'll read a question to you from a listener. In fact, I believe it's a first-time listener, and you could answer it when we come back. We have Adam in Edgewood, Maryland, who says, what advice would you give to young men who desire to pursue ministry in a predominantly atheistic country? And he gives as an example the Czech Republic. I'm not sure why, since he lives in Edgewood, Maryland. But if you would like to follow up with another email explaining why the Czech Republic is of specific interest to you, let us know. But thanks for that question, Adam, and we will have Bill answer it when we come back. He says, go Blue Jays. I'm not sure what Toronto, Canada has to do with Edgewood, Maryland, or Czech Republic either.
Well, I'm trying to think if I know this person, because I'm obviously a big Yankee fan. And so
he's rubbing it in by saying, go Blue Jays?
The name doesn't ring a bell, but if they know me and whatever, okay, fine, go Blue Jays. But as long as they didn't say, go Red Sox, I'm good.
Okay, well, if anybody else wants to join us, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen at gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 Conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White of the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please. please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast. As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. The church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Butterfucco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned in to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, our guest for the entire program today is Bill Hill, who is pastor of Providence Church, a PCA congregation in Evansville, Indiana. And we are discussing Pastor Hill's advice to young ministerial students. If you have a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Adam, the questioner that I cited right before the break, who is from Maryland, he explained in further detail why he has a specific interest in the Czech Republic. He says, "I've had a desire to pursue pastoral ministry since I started to repent and believe in the gospel. I've always had a love for my heritage," so I'm assuming he's speaking of Czechoslovakian, "so it made sense that love for my people and a love for sharing the gospel would merge. Pastor Hill and I spoke a few times in person at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. I'm not the most memorable person, but I think I'm the only student who has had a heart for the Czechs. I thought that might have helped his memory." So if you want to give him any advice there.
I don't know the background. One of the nice things about being in the PCA has a very robust.
Hey, brother, could you go back closer to the mic again, or with a phone, whatever you use?
Right on top of me.
Oh, really? You sound kind of distant. I don't know why.
Maybe that's why I sound angry. Which I'm not, actually.
I know. Anyway, you always sound angry, even when you're happy. I know that.
Oh, come on now. Anyway. One of the nice things about the PCA, and I don't know what his church background is that the PCA has a very robust mission to the world, and we have missionaries in tons of countries across the planet, and obviously if that's something you have a burden for, I would certainly seek obviously counsel from your elders. If it's something you want to do,
I think he is primarily addressing the atheist part, not the Czech part. What kind of advice would you give to any ministerial student or somebody even intending to become a missionary, where the majority of people around them are atheists? You might even include New York City in that. If there are any Reformed people out there who are interested in church planting, New York City is a barren wasteland except for a handful of solidly Reformed churches there. It's amazing to me that a city so large and so heavily populated would have such a small percentage of confessionally Reformed churches. But having said that, any advice when it comes to A person desiring to pursue atheists as a mission field is basically, I think, what he's saying in summary.
Yes. I would find somebody who's actually worked in that field and glom off them as much as you can, because I don't have a whole ton of experience in that. I mean, obviously, I run into unbelievers all the time, but I can't say that I've ever been in a situation where it's been so dramatically obvious that they just deny the very existence of God, which is absurd, because everybody knows that God exists. I'm a presuppositionalist, so. But I've never really been confronted with that kind of environment. And so I would just say, find somebody who has been, who maybe has done that already or is even doing it now, and just pick their brain for as much as you can get, because it's certainly a unique challenge. I don't know anything about the Czech Republic. I don't know any of the demographics. I would say, if you're intending to go to seminary, apologetics are going to be, it's going to be very important. To have that solid foundation, which you can then demonstrate to people who say they're atheists, because there's really no such thing. But you can show them why they're really not atheists in the first place. And but that's not having any experience in that area is probably the best I've got.
Yes, and I know personally, because we have listeners in Ukraine, which was formerly a part of the Iron Curtain and the USSR, and the Christianity is beginning to grow and spread there, and there might even be some of my listeners from Ukraine who could give you some counsel in that regard. There are even reformed satellite teaching groups. I don't know if they're at quite the seminary level. They may be. I just don't remember right now. But I know that my friend, for instance, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, at one time anyway, was annually making trips to Ukraine to teach. So, obviously, it is not... When it comes to God and His sovereignty, nothing is... without hope. He has brought revival in formerly atheistic countries or predominantly atheistic countries in the past, and he could do it again. But anyway, thanks so much, Adam, for writing in. And since you are a first-time questioner, I believe, please give me your full mailing address in Maryland, Edgewood, Maryland, so that cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, can ship to you a free New American Standard Bible, compliments of the publishers of the NASB. And I want to thank, by the way, Pike Lambeth, the executive director of the Lockman Foundation, who publish the New American Standard Bible. I want to thank them so much for just recently, a few days ago, renewing their advertising contract. We depend upon them very much for our existence. All right, but now, let me give you 7 minutes to at least get the ball rolling on what you originally attended as your counsel and advice to young ministerial students before we go to our midway break.
Yeah, I think the first thing to ascertain for anybody who is contemplating the ministry is... This has been historically agreed upon issue where the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 3 says that the saying is trustworthy: if anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble path. And so the desire itself is important. Obviously, most of us act out on our desires anyway. We typically don't choose food at a restaurant that we don't like. We choose food that we desire, we like, we enjoy. So the desire itself is a good thing, and that has usually been categorized as an inward call to the ministry. But that itself is not enough to move any man into the actual work of the ministry itself. Then there's the outward call, in which the people of God see and understand that there's true gifts of the Holy Spirit in that man, that he, the Spirit, is calling into the work of the ministry. So there's two aspects to this, and I think if any young man is listening and has some inclination towards a call to the ministry, maybe he's not in seminary right now, but he's thinking about going, that's good. But I would sit down with your elders and I would have that conversation with them. Let them then evaluate you, vet you, work with you, which they should do. That was my experience. I was very thankful to be in a strong contact, a strong church with very godly elders. Found out, I don't know how they found out, but they found out that I had some inclination for the ministry, and so they put me through a whole bunch of things and sat me down and had lengthy conversation, and it was all useful, because had they said to me, you know, Bill, you probably should wait, or you don't really see it, you shouldn't just lightly dismiss that as, well, they don't know what you're talking about. They've been charged with the care of your soul. They're not saying this lightly. And so I would start there. If any man has some desire to do that, I would say have that conversation with your elders. Now, if they agree that you should pursue the ministry, then it becomes a question of, okay, so how are we going to do this? Am I going to go to seminary? Am I not going to go to seminary? Am I going to do distance education? And in our world today, there's different options. Now, I'll give you my personal opinion. Nothing I say today is infallible, except when I read the Bible. I would encourage the most men who want to pursue the ministry to go to seminary. I don't mean go to seminary in your living room. I mean go. Physically move to the location and immerse yourself in the 3 or 4 years there, because there's more to seminary training than just taking classes. There's a whole bunch of things that are going on that you're not going to read about in the catalog. There's the example of your professors, there's informal conversations with them multiple times throughout the time you're at seminary. There's the discussions offline with other students. There's the discussions in the classroom that you generally don't get when you do it by distance. There's just a lot of benefits, far more benefits, I think. Those outweigh the plan that often comes with a distance program, because you're basically listening to lectures, taking notes, taking the exams, and getting the, you know, getting that class behind you. While that's all important, the idea is to learn and interact and have a solid understanding of the material that you're working through, because those are the kinds of things you're going to be dealing with on a day-to-day basis. You don't pastor your church by distance, and you pastor your church face-to-face with real people in real time. And so I'm more of an advocate. I'm not suggesting that distance education for seminary is wrong. I know there are some men who have done it that way. Some are friends of mine, and but I would say that that's the exception, not the rule. The other thing, too, about going to seminary is that you learn to live on the ragged edge. You learn to live pretty much week to week. It's a stressful time. It's not always enjoyable, but at the same time, it's really part of the preparation, not just the classes. It's the entire experience that, at least in my experience, I've benefited from greatly. And I started as a distance student for 1 year. I took classes by distance at Greenville. I wasn't benefiting at all, and I knew it. And so I determined to move. My wife and I, my kids were grown, and they were off living their lives. We moved to Greenville, South Carolina, Virginia. And when I got there, I started over. So that whole first year, I pretty much chucked, because I didn't really believe that I benefited much from just sitting behind a computer screen listening to somebody lecture. And so I do think it's important. It's not the only way, I realize, but I think you get far more out of it if you're actually on campus. So an inward call is good. Speak with your elders. Hear what they have to say. And then ask them, if you think I should go to seminary, where do you think I should go? Now, when I was given the green light by my elders to go to seminary, they didn't give me a choice. They told me I was going to Greenville. That was it. Now, I wanted to go to Greenville anyway, so it wasn't any conflict, of course. But it's important to listen to those men. They've been charged with the care of your soul. And so listen to them, and because it's that important. It's not a decision that we take lightly. You're not just going out and deciding what car to buy. This is a vitally important work that needs to be taken that seriously. So that just gets us going, Chris, but I think that's a good place to stop if you have any questions.
Yeah, what I'm going to do, since we are entering into the time when we have to go to our midway break, I'm going to ask you another question and have you answer it when we come back. We have an anonymous listener who says, what do you say to an individual who really has a desire to go to seminary and to become trained for the ministry when his own elders do not want him to leave the congregation? They want him to rely on the education and training that is available in the local church, and they do not want this person to depart for formal education, for degrees and so on, because they believe he is of too much value in the congregation. And we'll have you answer that question when we come back. Our email address, if you have any questions of your own, if you want to get in line, is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Please be patient with us as this is our longer than normal break in the middle of the show, because Grace Life Radio, who airs this program, is compelled by the FCC to localize Iron Sharp and Zion Radio geographically to Lake City, Florida, with their own public service announcements and other local things that they air in the middle of the show, while we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. So, please be patient with us as we do that, and also please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information as you possibly can for as many of our advertisers as you can, so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers. We hope that many of you will buy our advertisers' products, use their services, visit their churches, and support their parachurch organizations. But when you cannot do those things, please, at the very least, simply reply to the ads with whatever contact information they provide and thank them for sponsoring Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. We need our advertisers to exist, folks. Some of you complain about the frequency of ads in the show, but we will not exist without them. We depend 100% on the funding provided by our advertisers, in addition, of course, primarily to the sovereign grace of God, and also our generous donors and benefactors who donate to the program. But we can't exist without our ads, folks. So please respond to them at the very least by thanking them. And send in your questions to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Fellowship and worship one another as we're walking in the light.
Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We'll both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Vody Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Please join Chris Arnson and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gaddy. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. You, I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything, so we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air.
So I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please, folks, never ever forget how vitally important to the survival of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio solid-ground-books.com is. They are a primary, a premier, a vital sponsor of this broadcast, and if they were to remove their advertising campaigns from the show, we would likely have to go off the air, barring a financial miracle from God. So please go to solid-ground-books.com frequently, purchase generously, and remember, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing us at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping a very important advertiser happy, you're going to be doing yourself an enormous favor of incalculable value, because solid-ground-books.com publishes nothing but the finest in Christian literature coming from a Reformed perspective, dating all the way back to the Protestant Reformation and extending all the way forward to our current day, including such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So go to solid-ground-books.com today, purchase generously, and mention every time you purchase books from solid-ground-books.com that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's a very important element so that they are aware of how successful their advertisements are on this show. Folks, I want to thank all of you who have been sending in via email and text your condolences for or to me and my family after the loss of my oldest brother, John, who entered into eternity with Christ yesterday morning at 76 years old, after a long bout with critical stage emphysema and a more recent bout with cancer and an inoperable aneurysm and COVID and pneumonia. I cannot explain in the English language, according to my limited vocabulary, how grateful I am to you and how grateful to God I am for you, especially those who have been reassuring me that they believe as well that my brother is in eternity with Christ because of the profession I shared with them that my brother made in writing last month, assuring me that he was turning to Christ every single day, asking forgiveness for his sins, and asking him, whenever God were to take him, that he would take him into his arms so that he could worship him gloriously for eternity. And I just thank God that my brother did tell me that in writing last month. And the reassurance I've been having from Christians I uphold as being very biblically knowledgeable and as being champions for Christ, for them to be sharing with me the encouragement that they believe my brother is in glory has been extremely helpful. Hence, you could probably detect a lilt in my voice today, a measure of peace and even joy in my voice today that was not necessarily evident yesterday when my brother passed or entered into eternity is a better phrase, entered into eternity with Christ. So thank all of you who have been praying. I ask of you to continue praying for me and my family and my sister-in-law, Jan, who is John's widow, his two daughters, Regina and Patrice, and his two sons, Eric and John Jeffrey, more commonly known as JJ, and my siblings, Andrew, Mary, Robert, and myself. So I just thank you all and can never thank you enough. Also, folks, if you are a man in ministry leadership, I urge you, if you are capable of getting to Carlisle, Pennsylvania on Monday, September 27th, I am having my next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon featuring a speaker whom I believe, and I am not exaggerating or flattering this man, which I believe would be sin if I were to do so. I believe this man is the most powerful preacher alive on the planet Earth. His name is Dr. Conrad Mbewe. He is pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church of Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, which is a confessionally reformed Baptist church. He is the founding chancellor of African Christian University, and he also happens to be Vodi Baucom's pastor. He is going to be speaking at my next pastor's luncheon from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Monday, September 27th, here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, at the Bongiorno Conference Center. It's absolutely free of charge. There is not even anything for sale there. Every year, going back to the 1990s, major Christian publishers from all over the United States and the United Kingdom have been donating books that I select from their catalogs for free so that every man in attendance at these luncheons can receive a copy of one of these titles. So every man leaves with a heavy sack of books, dozens of books, brand new, absolutely free. The entire afternoon is free food, free spiritual nourishment, and free books, and a free time of fun, fellowship, feasting, rest, relaxation, and refreshment. This was all the brainchild of my precious late wife, Julie, back in the 1990s, who came up with the idea of treating my pastor friends to lunch every year where we would have a guest speaker and have free gifts. And she always insisted, don't you dare ever have an ulterior motive or a hidden agenda or sell anything. Don't be trying to convince people to sign up for Amway or anything else. No offense to Amway salesmen, but my precious wife, my dear late wife, who is in glory with Christ, she insisted that there be no hidden agenda, and it was to be an entire day of treating men in ministry with a gift of this day for their labors in exchange or in gratitude, is a better word, for their labors as ministers of the gospel. So if you are a man in ministry leadership and you would like to attend this event, merely email me at chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. I look forward to hearing from you and your free registration. Also, folks, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please, I'm urging you to go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. We are in urgent need of your donations, folks. The coronavirus pandemic hysteria has hurt us financially in a big way because many in our audience have been hurt financially in a big way. They have either lost an income altogether, lost the business that they owned, perhaps, or had a reduction in their income. All kinds of reasons that the giving has radically, drastically gone down. Some people who used to give less, and some people do not give at all any longer. And let me quickly say, I thank all of you in the audience who have been giving all the way back since 2005 when we first launched the show, and those who are giving more recently, some for the first time. I can never explain to you how deeply grateful I am to God for you. Your gifts have been necessary, in addition to our advertisers, to keep this show on the air. Thank you so much. Don't ever think I underestimate or underappreciate you. I appreciate you enormously, and I ask of your forgiveness if I don't make that clear enough. But thank you. But if you have never given but and yet listen to the show regularly, please. I know that there are a lot of people in that category, because between 30 and 40,000 people download the MP3s off of our website every single month. If you are one of them and you've never given before, please seriously consider helping us. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Now, that comes with a caveat. Comes with a warning. Please don't ever siphon money away from your regular giving that you're accustomed to your own local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. I launched this show in 2005 with among my other reasons, a primary reason was to be a friend, a platform, a helping hand, an extension, and an outreach from the local pastors and the local churches. I never want to do anything that harms or hinders the local pastor and local church, including financially. So please don't cut down on your giving to your church by giving to us. Also, please don't harm your family financially. If you're really struggling to survive, please don't plunge your family into financial peril by giving to us. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture, providing for your church and providing for your family. Providing for my radio show is not a command of God, obviously. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have money in the bank collecting interest, you have money for recreational and trivial purposes, please, if you love this show and don't want it to disappear, share some of that money with us. We really need it. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, I have extensive lists of biblically faithful, theologically sound churches all over the world, and I've helped many people in our audience find churches in all parts of the globe, sometimes within just a couple of minutes from their own homes. I may be able to help you, too, if you send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line, chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That is also the email address where you could send a question to Pastor William Hill of Providence Church in Evansville, Indiana. And we are discussing Pastor Hill's advice to young ministerial students. And again, the email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. You may recall, Pastor Bill, that before the break, an anonymous listener wanted to know what to do when his own elders, they may be biblically faithful and theologically sound men, but they may be discouraging a person from leaving the congregation, going to seminary. Now, obviously, I'm assuming you don't have a cookie-cutter answer, because there may be reasons for that, that maybe that the person can't afford seminary and the church can't afford to send them. It may be that some of the elders are thoroughly knowledgeable in Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic and are capable of training a member for the pastoral ministry. There are multiple reasons. But sometimes, obviously, on an extreme, it could be selfishness. They don't want to lose somebody that they view as valuable. Not that is necessarily selfish, but it can be selfish. And you do also, to add to what our anonymous listener is asking, there are some churches more bent towards the fundamentalist realm who don't even believe in seminary. Of course, last but not least, we all have to admit, even though I know Presbyterian denominations typically insist that a seminary degree is required for ordination, we have to admit that that is not a biblical command. But having said all that I said, why don't you give your own advice to this individual?
Yeah, Chris, I'll do the best I can because there's just, as you've already pointed out, there are many, if I had this individual in front of me, there's many questions I would probably ask before I ventured to even give any kind of comment. Let's just take the issue of the elder selfish and they just don't want to let the person go because they're mean-spirited. Let's just take that off the table and we'll assume the best. That's not the case. I would advise the person, ask specific reasons as to their thinking on the subject, and heed that very carefully. I think the best course of action for any young man, any man who wants to pursue the ministry is to go to seminary. I think the benefits outweigh the disadvantages. But and that's just my opinion. I know friends of mine who disagree with me. That's fine. But with that said, if they are equipped to give you a robust theological training, including the original languages, then you need to weigh that very carefully. I mean, there could be circumstances. The young man that wrote the question, married with 12 kids. There could be many factors that I don't have any way of knowing over this medium to explore with him. But I would just urge him to listen carefully to those men because the Lord's going to hold them accountable for the advice they give. And if they're worth anything as elders, they know that. And they're going to then give the best counsel, and they should be giving the best prayerfully considered counsel to any young man in the church who wants to go to the ministry or go to seminary. So, again, that's the best I can do, not knowing lots of things, as you've highlighted.
Thank you, Anonymous. And if you are a first-time questioner, please give us your full name off the air, of course, through an email. I won't divulge this information, obviously. Give us your full name, your full address, and you will receive a free New American Standard Bible. Compliments of the publishers of the NASB, who just renewed their advertising contract with us. And also, thanks to our friends at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, who ship out all of our winners the books and Bibles and other things they receive by virtue of submitting questions to us at no charge to our listeners or to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thank you, cvbbs.com. Do you have another point of advice that you'd like to give?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
The next thing I would say, outside of just recognizing the inward and outward call and relying on the observation and counsel of men charged by the Lord to watch over a young man who may believe he's called to the gospel ministry, is and I cannot stress this enough. This is one of the areas that I think is a trap for some young men, who, especially young men who read a lot, who are knowledgeable, who listen to sermons, listen to lectures, listen to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, whatever. There's a plethora of information out there in the world today, but I would just strongly encourage you, any young man who's pursuing the ministry or wants to go to seminary, but not there yet, but is in seminary right now, always try to remain teachable. There's always somebody who knows more than you, and there are lots of people in my life that know far more than I do. And so you're never going to stop learning. You're never going to ever really leave seminary, even after you graduate from seminary. In fact, one of my professors said after he graduated, Now the real learning begins. And so it's vitally important, especially in seminary, to stay teachable. Always try to keep that attitude in front of you. Don't know everything, and you're never going to know everything. And it reminds me of what my pastor asked me after my first year of seminary. He asked me, what did you learn in your first year? And I looked at him and I said, I learned that I don't know as much as I thought I did. and that is exactly what I learned. And I went to seminary at 46 years old. I was in the Reformed faith 25 years. Before I went to seminary, I read as many Puritan books as I get my hands on. I read as many theological books as I get my hands on. I was a sponge. And then I got to seminary and I was like, oh my, I don't know anything. And so, and I don't tell that story as, you know, I was some great, wonderful guy. It was just the truth. I felt completely inept and stupid. And I still feel that way most of the time. So I think it's important just to remain teachable to men who are smarter than you, have done this before, which really leads to the next point, and that is listen carefully to those who have done this before. When I was in seminary, I had the privilege of getting to know a man who had labored in the OPC and the PCA and ministered for 40 years. And he would give me unsolicited advice on a regular basis. And I was fine with that. And I valued tremendously from just getting to know the man. I mean, going out to dinner with him, sitting in his living room, talking about life in general. It was a seminary education in itself. And so I would encourage any young man, anybody who wants to pursue the ministry or who's currently laboring in that direction, find somebody like that, that you can learn from, who is willing to invest their time into your life, because you will benefit tremendously going forward. One of the things that this man would regularly tell me, and I can still hear him saying it, as I would be griping about something or some problem or some issue, and he would say, Bill, more prayer. Pray more. More prayer. He would say it all the time. And I've benefited from that advice. I know it's simple advice, but when you're in the throes of the ministry, it's easy to forget to stop and just pray about the matters that are in front of you. And so find someone like that. They're out there, and they have way more experience than you do. Listen to what they have to say. I know I greatly benefited from it during my time at Greenville. The other thing is really kind of practical, I think, especially for men who are in seminary right now. Plan your week. Be diligent about your schedule. Map it out. I'm a very organized person. That's just the way I'm wired. And so I write out everything I need to do every week, and I have a plan of attack. But map out your week. You're going to have more to do than you have time. So if you don't have a plan, I guarantee you, you're going to get to the end of the semester and you're going to be way behind, and you're not going to be prepared for finals or papers due. So plan ahead. Be diligent. That will carry you. If you learn to do that in seminary, that will benefit you tremendously in the ministry, because you never know what's going to happen day to day, week to week. And sermons got to get written. People have to be visited. Sunday school classes have to be taught. There's lots to do. And then there's the surprises. The phone calls from a member who has a crisis, and then someone in the church passes away or some other issue. You never know what's going to come. So if you don't have a game plan every week, you haven't formed the habit of planning your schedule in your week, you will get to the end of the week in total panic mode, because Sunday is coming. No matter what happens between the Sundays, Sunday is coming, and a sermon has to be preached. And you're not going to just get up there and wing it, I hope. So be diligent with your time. Everybody's afforded the same amount of time every week, regardless of what job they have. We all get 168 hours, and we're all accountable for how we use that time. So use it well. Plan carefully. Let me keep going.
Oh, sure. I mean, I do have some people who are waiting for their questions to be asked, but if you are on a roll, go ahead.
No, I'm fine.
Okay. We have another anonymous listener who said, I heard of your love of baseball earlier in the program. I am a fellow fan. But the problem with being a fan of baseball and being a Sabbatarian is that you miss out on a lot and you have an added temptation to consume your time on a Sunday after worship with viewing baseball and other sporting events. I was wondering how you view the Sabbath and if refraining from watching something like baseball is a part of that. And most importantly, when it comes to ministerial students, I know of many who pack their Sundays after worship service with study. Is that proper, as noble as that may be?
Yeah, that's a great question. No, I don't watch baseball on the Lord's Day. I'm a strict adherent to the Fourth Commandment. I'm not going to tell you that I don't ever get tempted to watch, and that just reveals the worldliness that still remains in my own black heart. But as a rule, I have made it a practice during baseball season not to watch baseball on the Lord's Day. I'll get the score in the morning. It's not the end of the world if I miss one game. It's harder during playoffs, admittedly, but now, more to the point, I would encourage ministerial students not to study on the Lord's Day. That's your job. That's what you do, generally speaking, day in and day out. That's why you're in seminary. That's your job. And I do believe that if you honor the Lord's Day, the Lord will honor you, and he'll multiply the time you spend between the Sundays in providing you're being diligent and disciplined with your time. You're not wasting time. He'll bless that because he blesses his word. He blesses his commands as we seek to honor them. He will bless your efforts. So I would say no, I didn't do it during seminary, and it was tempting. But again, that's just because I'm still worldly. But I would encourage people not to do that on the Lord's Day. That's something they have to wrestle with, I realize. But I think it's
now,
best.
Now, that's an interesting area. Would you differentiate between a seminary student writing a paper on the Lord's Day after a worship service and studying? Because in some sense, I'm sure you would not find fault with any Christian. He's hearing a sermon. He's hearing something perhaps that has sparked an interest in something in a text that he's never seen before. And he begins after service is over to open up his Bible, open up a lexicon, open up helpful aids, confessions, and so on. And he begins to study commentaries and so forth, begins to study on the Lord's Day. I would be hard-pressed to find fault with the average Christian doing that. So why would a student be, in your opinion, prohibited from doing that? And that's why I asked, is there a difference between actually writing a paper that's due and just studying?
Yeah. Well, I don't see much distinction between studying and writing a paper. It's impossible to write a paper without reading and studying other people. But the reason I say that, and I realize people are going to disagree with this, and that's fine, but is because that's your job. That's what you do all week long. And one of the principles of the Fourth Commandment is that we come away from our normal worldly employments and recreations, and we give the whole day to the worship of God, both public and private, and utilize it for acts of necessity and mercy. And so this is what I do on Tuesday. This is what I do on Wednesday. This is what I do on Thursday. This is what I do all week long. Now I come to Sunday, and I have to use that too, because either I didn't plan my week very carefully or whatever the case may be. But I chose not to do that. You need a break. And when you're in seminary, you're going to need a break. And it's good to have that day that you're not thinking about that paper, and you're not thinking about that book you got to read, and you're not thinking about that exam that's coming up. You need a break. Everybody needs a break. And so utilize it. Just know that it's coming, so you got 6 days to do your work. But on the seventh day, the Lord's day, you're going to set it aside.
Thank you, Anonymous. Once again, if you are a first-time questioner, give us your mailing address so that cvbbs.com can ship you a free New American Standard Bible. Do you have another word of advice before I go to another listener question?
Sure. This is on the subject of reading. As your advertisers, you advertise for a company that sells good Christian books. I've been in that bookstore, by the way. It's fantastic. And my wife hates it when I go in there because, well, just can't resist. I got to buy something, you know. There's lots to read out there in the world. There are books on everything. But I would encourage young men pursuing the ministry to spend time. I know you're thinking, oh, when am I supposed to go through the time? I don't have the time. Well, you have the Lord's Day. It's not seminary training. This is just reading. It's different. You know, spend time reading guys that are dead. It's not to say that the guys that are living are, but my point is this. Some of the best preachers in the world were produced from the 18th and 19th centuries. Some of the best preachers we've ever heard in our lives. Read their sermons. Immerse yourself in what they have put down. I think you'll benefit far and away more than glomming on to the new fad within Christendom, reading some book on the latest controversy. You'll feed your soul while you're doing it, and your vocabulary will increase. You can't help but increase. You will benefit tremendously if you immerse yourself more in those guys than the newfangled things that come down the pipe. Now, I'm not saying don't read the books that get published in 2021. I do. I also have more time to do that than the average person. But the point I'm making is when you look at your reading list, let the balance of it be in the old guys, the Puritans of old.
They have stood the test of time.
Yes, and there's a reason why they're still being published. There's a reason why they're still being printed. And so immerse yourself in them. You will profit tremendously as you carefully work through those volumes. They're all available. You can get them in, you know, just about anywhere. And I can give recommendations. I'm working through a book right now, Grace and Glory, by sermons by Gerhardus Voss. They're tremendous. I thought to myself, nobody preaches like this guy today. And that's probably a good thing in some sense. But it's just the depth of knowledge and the richness of the sermon and the insight about what he says. And it's tremendous. And so I would strongly encourage guys to just think more about having at least one book in your rotation that's something from old Princeton or the Puritans. Read Spurgeon sermons. They're widely available. Some of them are in public domain. You can just print them off the internet. But put your energies there. Don't worry about this newfangled stuff. You'll get to that eventually. But get the solid foundation in front built before you press on to some of this controversial newfangled. Everybody loves controversy, but, I got no set on that one.
Yeah, I think there's a reason why the majority, not all, but the majority of books, for instance, that my sponsor, solid-ground-books.com, and also Banner of Truth, they primarily reprint the older works because they are about timeless issues rather than current controversies that may not be applicable to all ages. And I'm not saying.
No, you're right. I was reading a sermon the other day. I can't remember the book. It's a new book, new publication, but not new in material put out by Banner. But anyway, the sermon, I thought to myself, this guy could have preached this sermon today because he was talking about what will happen to the church if we do not heed these instructions right now. And this was written in the early 1900s. And I thought, wow, he was right. It's really a timeless thing. You mentioned Solid Ground books. I'm holding in my hand the works of one of the works of volumes of the works of Thomas Manton that they put out.
Yeah.
I mean, you cannot beat these guys at all. They are tremendous, and they will give you such a concrete foundation that you'll read some new guy and you'll be like, what? What are you talking about? And so it's really valuable. Now, I'm not disparaging the new guys. I read
new the new guys are 99% of my guests.
Right. Well, I'm reading, like, Joel Beakey's Reformed Systematic Theology. I'm reading that right now. That's a new book. But Joel Beakey obviously is immersed in, you know, Puritan reading. He's scholarly. He's knowledgeable. He's solid. I'm not afraid of him. So I can read it. I'm not saying don't ever read anybody that is still alive, but I'm saying look at your reading list and ask yourself, what am I giving my time to mostly? And if it's mostly the newfangled stuff, put that over. Grab a Puritan volume and start working through it. Read something from Owen. Banner's got the Puritan paperbacks. Read those. You'll benefit far and away more than I think anything else.
You mentioned Gerhardus Voss before. I remember I interviewed Danny Olinger years ago on my old show when I was broadcasting out of New York on his Gerhardus Voss anthology. I'm assuming it's still in print, but I would urge people to look up where they can get a copy of that, even if it's out of print. And I should get Danny back on the show as well. We have to go back. We have to go to our final break right now, and it's a lot shorter than the other breaks. So please, if you have a question, send it in immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com is our email address. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, city and state of residence, and country of residence. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Hi, I'm Phil Johnson, host and executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. I hope you plan to join me and Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd. The theme this year is Christ is Supreme Over All. My friend Chris Arnzen and I will be joined by several of our other friends, including Vody Balcom, Justin Peters, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Virgil Walker, and James White. More than 20 other speakers will be joining us, and the lineup this year includes my pastor, John MacArthur. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G3 2021. This is Phil Johnson reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Welcome back. And Pastor Bill Hill, do you have another piece of advice, or would you like me to go to a listener question?
Oh, why don't you do your listener, of course.
We have BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who says, I know an older gentleman who is desirous of entering into more formal training for ministerial preparation, including seminary education. And I was wondering, what could you say to prepare an older person who is considering this venture?
Yeah, since that's what I did. All those things I've said are previously would still apply, right? So give counsel and wisdom from men that are over you in the Lord. Age is not an issue with that. Evaluate your desire, your reasons why one would want to pursue the ministry, even at that age. I had an inward call to the ministry when I was in my early 20s. The Lord didn't see fit to put me in seminary until I was 46. So it took 25 years, almost.
That's about the age that my very dear friend, now in eternity with Christ, Dr. Robert J. Cameron, he was a black brother who was a pastor in first the Reformed Episcopal Church, then the PCA, then the OPC, and he owned, I believe it was a trucking business that when he retired and sold the business, he went into seminary in his late 40s, possibly even early 50s.
Yeah, and I think there's some advantage to that, Chris, to be perfectly honest. I mean, I there's exceptions to everything, nearly everything, including that statement. But there's something to be said about an older man as an elder in the church, whether he's formally the minister of the church or he's serving as a ruling elder in our context as Presbyterians, because of life experience, there's a great deal of value that you can bring to the equation that you know, it's just something that you have to learn through living. And I have found that that's been a benefit for me because seminary only is basic training. I mean, that's really what it is. It's basic training. And not until you actually get in the ditches and the throes of ministerial life. And so when it really becomes something, you start learning even more so how to handle various issues and concerns and problems. So if you have a tremendous amount of life experience for an older gentleman who's seeking the ministry, you can draw on that in many ways, and it will benefit you as you seek the guided church. People are people. And so I think it's a good thing. It's not the only way. Obviously, we have young men in the ministry, and the Lord's blessing their work, and that's great. But I think there's something to be said about being able to draw on 30 years of working in the world, knowing what your people deal with day after day, what they go through, what they wrestle with. You've been there. You understand it. You've felt it. You get it. And the connection, I think, is just different with the people in the pews.
Now, was there any level of discomfort being or seeming to be out of place, surrounded by people much younger, possibly even young enough to be your children or grandchildren, that you had to overcome, or were you just comfortable right at the outset?
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I was one of the older students on campus. My oldest daughter got married in my third year of seminary, and other guys were having their first child. So there was a huge gap, which meant that some of my closer friends in seminary were in my age category, more or less. And in fact, I still speak every week with one of them on the phone. We talk, we call each other and talk shop and pray together. And that's important. And you'll forge those relationships in seminary. But I don't know if I was uncomfortable, so much. I was a staff member at Greenville. And so I just rolled with it. But there was a difference. I mean, let's face it. I wasn't in my mid to late 20s. And so, it was different. The dynamic was a little different, but I don't think I was uncomfortable with that.
Yeah, one of my pastors, John Miller, had a different kind of problem, being the only Baptist student at Greenville. at least when he was there. Do you know John? Do you know John Miller?
I do. I think we've met maybe once or twice. If not, I know him. I know of him.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
I know he went to Greenville, so I mean, it's not that big a school, so it's easy to keep track of guys that have graduated and so forth.
Well, we have about a minute for you to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
The last thing I want to say to guys that are training for the ministry, if you're currently in seminary or if you're seeking to go there, do not sacrifice for any reason, do not sacrifice the time that you need to spend alone in prayer and reading the Word. Seminary can be the driest time spiritually of your entire life. It doesn't make sense, but I can assure you it is true. So you need to have that time. Yeah, and if you don't do that, you will dry up and wither away. So make it a priority. Start your day in prayer. Start your day feeding your soul. And if you don't develop that habit, you won't carry it out into your ministry, and it will hurt the church and it will hurt you. And so keep a close watch on yourself and on the doctrine. I think I read that somewhere. That's Paul's advice to Timothy.
Yes. Well, I want to make sure that our listeners have your websites, Providence Church EVV, that's an abbreviation for Evansville, Indiana, Providence Church E as in Edward, V as in Victory, V as in Victory, .com, providencechurchevv.com, and don't forget about the blog, The Parchment, which is found at theparchment.net, theparchment.net. I want to thank you so much for being a superb guest once again, Pastor Bill. I look forward to your soon return and your frequent return. I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who took the time to write in a question. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner. I thank the Lord that my brother John truly came to know that before departing this earth yesterday. Thank all of you for your prayers for me and my family as we continue in this journey of grief. God bless you, and I hope that you all have a safe, joyful, and refreshing evening.